Sportscast, September 23rd, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And, of course, visit us on thesportscast.net. Justin Herbert threw three touchdowns. And number 16th, Oregon, opened Pac-12 play with a 21-6 victory at Stanford. Now they're number 13 this past Saturday night. And to talk to us a little bit about Oregon Duck football, Mr. Ty Turner, welcome back to the Sportscast.
What's up, dude?
So, Oregon snapped that losing streak with Stanford. Tell us a little bit about what you saw this past Saturday night.
Did you see the game at all or not?
I did not see the game.
Okay. It was, sorry, I'm looking for my, hold on. Okay, you still there? Sorry.
Still here.
I'm looking for my car. You got me just as I left leaving the gym. I told you that. But, yeah, 21-6 against a reeling Stanford team. Stanford had lost the last two previous games, 25 to USC at USC, and then by 18 points to UCF in Orlando. But I had a feeling, you know, it's a Pac-12 North game. They are rivals. I mean, they play every year. They played every year for I don't know how long. 50, I don't know. Actually, I'm not going to guess. But they played every year for a long time. And they're in the same division in the Pac-12. So you know that you're going to get the best version that they can give you. You know that Stanford was going to be prepared. They might have lost the last two games pretty significantly. But I knew that Stanford was going to come prepared at home against a Pac-12 rival. You're going to get the best possible game you're going to get. And honestly, I think that's what happened. And Oregon, you know, was it an amazing performance by Oregon? Well, by the defense, it's pretty darn good. I mean, defense gave up no touchdowns. Stanford started the game, got the ball, drove the ball, 60, 70 yards down the field, got held in the red zone, kicked a 32-yard field goal and went up 3-0. Well, guess what? They never made the red zone again until late in the fourth quarter, which actually they made it. And then like two plays later, after a couple sacks, they were right outside the red zone. So they pretty much barely got to the red zone for like one play the rest of the game after that opening drive. Costello got sacked 6 times, got harassed the whole game. They were able to run a little bit, but he couldn't pass anyone. No one was open. He threw an interception. Jevin Holland picked it off. Really just a great performance by the defense. And just a lot more talent on the – I remember when I kept on talking, I bring up talent. I bring up talent. I bring up the team talent formula, my team talent formula. I bring up team talent composite. And where it came into play really was in the second half. And you recruited at a really high level. They haven't gotten to high level athletes, especially at the skill positions and even in the defensive backfield and stuff. That's where they've really struggled to land significantly talented players. And Oregon has gotten some really legit prospects in the defensive backfield, some real legit prospects at wide receiver position. And that's really was the difference, because the couple of big time plays by the Oregon Duck wide receivers, like the 40 yard or 36 yard slant pattern that Jalen Redd took to the house, and Jacob Breland had a couple long catches, and Johnny Johnson had a long catch. And you just saw them being able to get the big explosive plays through the air, and Stanford couldn't. They couldn't get anything through the air. I don't even know what their longest pass pattern was. Maybe they got one like 25-yard completion in the fourth quarter. But for most part, other than getting some yards on the ground, it was really hard to come by through the air. And so it really was a complete performance by the defense. Herbert was good. I mean, he was 19 for 24. I think that's – I don't remember. I think that was like 76% completion percentage. He threw 3 touchdowns. He did get sacked 4 times, and he did get hurried several others. I think a lot of that had to do with protection. The injury to center Jake Hansen was not great for the offensive line. They looked a little bit discombobulated. They had trouble with the reads in pass protection. And Oregon didn't run the ball well. They didn't run the ball well at all. They only averaged like 2 yards a carry. I think they ran for like 60, 70 yards. They didn't run. They didn't run the ball well at all. And that's kind of problematic. They really haven't run the ball good all season. They didn't run good against Auburn. They didn't run good against Montana, FCS school. And then they didn't run it very well against Stanford. So that's something to watch going forward. I don't know. They just don't have, they're not a great running team. They're good through the air. And the thing that really you have to remember is three of Oregon's top wide receivers, Juwan Johnson, Brandon Schooler, and Micah Pittman. It's possible that all three of those guys would be starters. If not, they'd be playing, they'd be in the two deep. They haven't played yet. They've all been out injured. And they're all coming back. I think Johnson and Schooler come back for Cal. And Pittman might be back for Cal. If not for Cal, he'll be back by the next game against Colorado. And Oregon's one of the best passing offenses in the Pac-12 and in the country. So once he gets all those other guys back, their passing offense is going to be one of the better passing offenses in the country. But the running game, it's just not very good. That's all I can say about that. And defensively, they're great. They're great, especially against the pass. The Oregon secondary is very good. So, yeah, that was kind of a long spiel.
No,
that's
great.
They won. They won. They beat a rival. They snapped a three-game losing streak to Stanford. They're 1-0 in the Pac-12. And they go into the bye week feeling pretty good about themselves. They're in the top 15. They're number 13 in the country. Things are good.
You did mention to me on Saturday night that Herbert had a Heisman performance.
I mean, yeah, he's playing. I mean, the last three games especially, and just throughout the season. I mean, when you complete 75% of your passes for 14 touchdowns and zero interceptions, that's impressive, especially considering three of your top wide receivers are out. So, and you don't have a really good running game. So it's not like teams are just like giving you easy shots down the field. I mean, they're anticipating throwing the ball and they're doing a good job of completing and scoring and getting yards and winning. So yeah, he's playing well. He's playing very well. And the NFL draft reviews are really well, good. The only knocks right now I'm hearing from NFL people, seeing a couple, is Herbert is not great under pressure, and I agree with him. Both in the Stanford and Auburn game, when they got pressure on him, yeah, I thought he took a couple sacks he shouldn't. He probably should just get outside the pocket and get rid of the ball. He also is a little sloppy with the ball. He has pressure around him, and he got the ball knocked out of his hand twice against by Stanford. They recovered both times. But he needs to be a little bit better when pressure gets on him. Because in the NFL, you're going to have guys you're going to get pressure on you. So he needs to remain a little more calm, and he needs to get outside the pocket, and he needs to get rid of the ball. Can't take sacks, can't get strip sacks where they strip the ball from him. He needs to be a little better in the pocket. But as a passer, with Dan Brugler, one of the NFL draft guys, there's not a better arm in college football. I mean, he just makes just amazing throws. I mean, he just has they're doing an amazing arm. It's quick, it's decisive, it's strong, it's accurate. He has the best arm in college football. I think he's better than Trevor Lawrence, honestly, as a passer. And that doesn't mean, I'm not saying that Justin Herbert's the best overall quarterback. Like I said, there's other guys who have things that Herbert doesn't. They're better scramblers, they're better awareness when the pocket breaks down. I'm just talking about as just an arm talent, the ability to maybe sit there, all of a sudden wing a ball 20 yards on a dime on an out pattern where the only possible guy in the world that can get the ball is your wide receiver. It's impossible for anyone else even to get near it. That is where Justin Herbert's the best quarterback in college football. Now, there's other things other quarterbacks are better. There's better scramblers. There's better just like processors. There's better, more accurate deep ball throwers, but just arm talent is the best.
Justin Herbert had 259 yards with three score touchdowns. CJ Verdell, running back, only had 82 yards as Ty was mentioning, the rushing game was not as well as the passing game. Jacob Breeland had 78 yards. He caught two of Herbert's scoring passes and finished with five catches for 78 yards. Jacob Breeland, what do you think of him? What do you think of him so far?
Well, he's been great. He's third in among tight ends in the FBS in catches, yards, and he's first in touchdowns. I did ask Dan Brugler from The Athletic, he's the NFL draft guru, if he was rising up draft boards, and he said not really. I think there's still questions about his health, and he's also a pretty average blocker. He's still probably a late-round guy. I mean, he looks great, but I think they're attributing a little bit of his production to the lack of receivers because of the injuries and because he has Herbert thrown to him. But I think he's looked great. He's been great. I think he's been terrific this year.
Looking forward, obviously, Oregon will have a bye week this weekend. They'll be facing California next week. What do you expect? What are you looking forward towards playing against California?
Well, if Cal wins, it'll be a top 50 matchup. Cal has to play Arizona State this weekend. And if Cal can win that game, Oregon versus Cal will be a top 15 matchup. So that'll be nice. I just look for Oregon to come out. And, I mean, man for man, there's the much superior talent all across the field. But Cal's a solid team. Cal just beat Ole Miss in Ole Miss. Cal beat Washington by 1 point in Washington. They're not a sexy team. They have a pretty average offense, but they play very good defense. They're technically sound. Justin Wilcox and his staff are good coaches. They'll come to play. And I think, it's in Austin Stadium. I don't think they match up. Or that's not a great matchup on paper for Cal, because I'm drinking as I'm talking.
It's okay, you're trying to hydrate again.
Yeah, you caught me. you caught me just after I worked out.
Hey, you called me. You told me to call you at this time.
Only time I had. Okay. Anyhow, we're going back to what I was saying. What was the thing
about Cal? What are your expectations for California?
Well, yeah, I just think Cal, you know, it's not a great matchup for Cal. I say the main reason is Cal doesn't have much of a downfield passing game. And so they're really going to be, and that's the strength of the Oregon defense, is both their pass rush and their pass defense, their secondary play. So I don't think Cal's going to be able to pass at all, which pretty much makes it where they'll have to run to get anything going on offense. And I think because man-to-man, Oregon can line up and pretty much stop Cal in the passing game, I think they'll allow them to play more guys in the box, which I think will make it difficult for Cal to run, and they'll pretty much dare Cal to make passes down the field and beat one-on-one. And I don't think they have the athletes to do it. So I just don't think they're going to get really any offense. I mean, think about it. Oregon has not given up a touchdown since the Auburn game. Oregon is top 10 nationally in scoring defense, passing defense, and I think it's in sacks. They're top 20 in defensive efficiency. They're top 20 in total defense. So they're pretty much top 20 in everything but for rush defense. Rush defense, I think they're like top 30. And you can run. You can run a little bit on Oregon. They're not like huge at the backer position. So if you guys can get downhill on them, you can get some yards. But, you know, they're an okay rushing team. They can run the ball a little bit, but it's not that good. But their passing offense is pretty average. And the athlete they have out there, and even the person they have at quarterback, he's just nothing special as a passer. So I think they're really going to just match them up man-to-man and make them beat them running the ball. And I think they're going to put an extra guy in the box. And I think it'll become more difficult for Cal to run the ball. I just don't see Cal being able to generate a whole lot of offense. I'm going to watch Cal a little more. I've only watched him a little bit. So I'm going to watch him a little more this week against Arizona State because Oregon's not playing. But that's not a great matchup. Now, defensively, I think they're going to provide some problems for Oregon. They have a very good pass defense. So luckily, Oregon will probably have two, maybe three of its injured receivers back. And they're good throwing the ball. And they have a great linebacker. Evan Weaver is one of the best. I think he leads the FBS in tackles. He had like 22 tackles last week against Ole Miss, something ridiculous like that. He's a really good player. And I think Oregon would have a little trouble running the ball, but I think they'll be able to run enough. They're playing at home, and I think they'll be able to get enough through the air. I just don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I kind of expect something like 24-10 or 20-10 or 20-7 or something like that.
There you have it. Next week,
I like the matchup for Oregon.
Looking good for Oregon. Next week we'll have a complete preview show of Oregon versus California. Oregon on the beat moving forward. Let's go into the Pac-12 scores. Big score of the Pac-12 that we thought was USC beating Utah 30-23. Obviously, Utah was ranked higher to 10th. USC was ranked lower. What were your thoughts about that game?
It was an entertaining game. First series of the game, Keaton Slovis, who started the year as a backup, true freshman Keaton Slovis, when JT Daniels was a starter. JT Daniels tore his ACL. First series of the game, he gets smashed. Goes out of the game with a concussion. You could tell he was concussed. Long story short, they bring in third-string quarterback Matt Fink, and Matt Fink is able to just basically throw fly patterns to the talented wide receivers of USC, Armon Ross, St. Brown, Michael Pittman, not Micah's brother, and Tyler Vaughn. They just make plays like crazy down the field, and they are able to do enough to stop Utah offense. Huge deal in that game. Zach Moss, who's one of the best running backs in the nation, maybe the best running back in Pac-12, he was injured in the first quarter. So that really, really helped out USC because the other backs were just not as effective. And Utah doesn't have a lot of athletes when it comes to the wide receiver position. So they just weren't able to make a ton of plays in the past game. And Tyler Huntley was kind of running all over the offense. Line struggled for Utah. The defensive line of USC was able to get a lot of pressure on Tyler Huntley. USC was able to pull it out. I'm telling you right now, though, I saw that game. I've seen USC play the last couple weeks. I still don't love where they're going as a team. I still think Clay Helton's going to get fired at the end of the year. I think they're going to get whacked by Washington this upcoming week. I really do. With a third-string quarterback, they're not beating Washington in Seattle.
Other scores in the Pac-12, California defeated Ole Miss 28-20. Washington defeated BYU 45-19. Arizona State University lost against Colorado 34-31. And UCLA defeated Washington State University 67-63.
Yep.
Which that was an upset, I thought.
They were down by 27 at halftime, I believe.
Wow.
Or 32. No, hold on. 32. I think it was 49-17 at halftime.
That's quite incredible, isn't it?
That was a bad, bad loss for Washington State at home. Bad. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to recover. I got a feeling they're going to lose. I think their season's going to kind of go downhill from that loss. That was a bad loss.
Big loss. Let's look into the Big Ten. One of the biggest games this weekend was Wisconsin defeating Michigan 35-14. Wasn't even that close.
It wasn't even that close. It should have been 35-0. They scored a couple touchdowns late. I mean, dominating performance by Wisconsin. They are the much. They're good. I mean, they beat the crap out of Michigan. It's a combination of Wisconsin's pretty good.
They have a pretty
darn good team. They have a great offensive line. They have a great running back. They have a solid quarterback. They can make a little bit of plays in the passing game, and then they're just extremely disciplined and solid on defense. But that being said, Michigan's not very good. Michigan's just not that good. They're not that great defensively. They're straight up terrible offensively. I mean, it's time to just come to terms with the fact that Shea Patterson is extremely average from the quarterback position. They are not great through the air. They're not great on the ground. This is not a great Michigan team. They're an 8-4, 7-5 team this year.
There you have it. Wisconsin has moved up to 10th. Michigan's dropped to 20. Other scores in the Big Ten, Indiana defeated.
Too high.
What happened?
That's too high. Michigan shouldn't be in the top 25.
I agree.
That's the one thing, a problem I have with the polls. And it shows, if 3 weeks of the season, a team looks like crap first week, looks like crap and barely beats a non-Power 5 school at home in overtime, and then gets just absolutely blasted off the field by a conference rival, I mean, then it's not top 25. Like, if the team looks bad, get them out of the top 25. Like, why are they 20? They're not top 25. That's stupid. Anyway,
from this result, do you think Wisconsin will probably win, like, the Big Ten West?
Yeah, I think they do. You know, I did from the beginning. Well, no, I didn't. Take that back. I actually thought it was Nebraska. But after I saw Nebraska play the first couple weeks and I saw Wisconsin, I changed my mind. I'm like, no, Wisconsin's better. And now that I saw this game, yeah, I think it's Wisconsin.
You're convinced.
I think they have to play. Do they have to play Ohio State during the season?
Wisconsin, let me double check on you on that. They do on October 26th.
Where's it at?
It's in Ohio State.
I'll be tough in Ohio State. I probably am going to take Ohio State in that game.
Yeah.
Who else is Wisconsin playing? Like, do they play Penn State?
They do not play Penn State. They play Northwestern, Kent State, Michigan State, Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska.
You just said they play Penn State. You just said they didn't play Penn State, and then you just said they play Penn State.
No, not Penn. Kent State with a K. Kent.
Kent, okay. Yeah. Oh, they play Iowa. Where do they play Iowa?
They play Iowa, and they play at Wisconsin.
Okay, I think they beat Iowa.
They also play Nebraska.
Where do they play Nebraska?
In Nebraska.
Now, Nebraska will get really freaking up for that game. Wisconsin and Iowa are their two biggest rivals. They'll get up for that game. I think Wisconsin's better. I think I got Wisconsin in that game. Okay, they lose to Ohio State. They're not going to lose to Northwestern. They obviously aren't going to lose to Kent State. Do they play Minnesota? They play Minnesota.
Play Minnesota last. And they do play Michigan State.
Where's it at?
He'll be in Wisconsin.
They beat Michigan State. I think they're better than them.
Okay.
I think they go 11-1. I think they go 11-1. The only loss will be to Ohio State. I actually somehow think Ohio State screws the game up. And you know what game it might be? It might be this weekend. I just think they're going to lose a game they shouldn't, and it might be this weekend. It's either going to be this game this weekend, or it's going to be Penn State or Wisconsin at home.
Which, everyone, they're playing against Nebraska this weekend, Ohio State.
Yeah, I know.
We talked about that at the college preview show.
Yeah, I think they're either going to, like, because of Nebraska. I know Nebraska hasn't looked great. They're 3-1. They barely beat Illinois. But college game day is in Nebraska.
Oof.
They are going to come out 100%. Ohio State has been inconsistent over the last 3-4 years. Now, have they changed? They do have a new head coach. But once in a while, they would just every single year. For like the last, more than that, even the year they won the national title, they lose to not a very good Virginia Tech team at home. And then they lost 1 year to Michigan State at home. Another year they lost to Purdue. And another year they get boat raced by Iowa. They've just had these dull, weird losses. And they're going to do it. They're going to lose one game. I don't know where it's going to be. It might be this weekend.
It's very possible.
And Nebraska just hasn't looked great. I have a hard time picking Nebraska because they just played and they lost to Colorado. I mean, they had the game won and they lost it. They were down almost the whole game to Illinois. They didn't come back and win it. They looked terrible the opening week. I don't know.
You would not put your money on Nebraska.
No, they just haven't looked good enough. But I think Wisconsin goes 11-1. I think Ohio State goes 11-1. And I think they play each other for the Big Ten championship.
That's going to be a big matchup.
With probably the winner going to the playoff. Well, you just never know. I don't know. It's really an interesting season.
They should. Because, whoever wins the Big Ten should go to the playoffs.
Well, it depends, though. It depends. It's all relevant. Okay, let's say, for instance, Wisconsin loses to Ohio State, plays with Ohio State again, beats them. So Wisconsin's the Big Ten champion at 12-1. But let's say LSU wins every single game except for the Alabama game. They're 11-1. Alabama wins the SEC title. So Alabama's in. Clemson's undefeated. They're in. Let's say Oklahoma is in with a one-loss or something, Big 12 championship. Who do you take? Do you take a one-loss Big Ten champion, a one-loss SEC? And let's throw a real winger in there. Let's say Oregon wins the rest of their game and is a one-loss Pac-12. So you have a one-loss Pac-12. Okay, one-loss Pac-12, one-loss Big 12, one-loss Big Ten, and then you have a one-loss SEC team who didn't win the SEC, but their only loss to the SEC champion, the number two team in America.
They're probably giving it to an SEC team.
I don't know. I don't know if you could just automatically assume that. I don't know if you could, because I do know the committee. I've heard them talk. actually, Rob Mullins is the athletic director for Oregon. He's the head of the committee. I've heard them talk, and they do take conference titles heavily into consideration. So if LSU didn't even play for the conference title game, I think it would hurt them.
I'm a proponent for conference title games, Tyler. I don't know about you, but I'm a huge proponent on that. That should weigh heavy.
You're a proponent of what?
Of, like, whoever wins the conference has more weight to go into the playoffs.
Well, I think they are, too. I think they are, too. Okay, so do you remember, like, 2 years ago when Alabama won the national title? Alabama did not make the SEC championship.
Yep,
they lost to Auburn. They had one loss. But they got picked in the playoff over Ohio State. Well, Ohio State was a two-loss team. I remember some people were like, well, they favor the SEC. Well, Alabama only lost once.
Yeah, Ohio State twice. Yeah, I remember that. And Justin told me about that.
Yeah, one of their losses was to Iowa by 30 points.
Yeah.
So I just think that, I think if in all that, I think LSU would get eliminated. I think even though that they might probably beat those other teams on a neutral field, I think it would come down to one loss Oklahoma, one loss Oregon, and one loss Wisconsin. And then it would probably be who beat the most teams in, like, the top 25. And then they'd look at probably some analytics, like defensive efficiency, offensive efficiency, to come down to win the last two. I have a weird feeling it's going to come down to something like that this year. I got a feeling it's going to be like, I think Clemson goes undefeated. I actually think Alabama goes undefeated. I hate saying it. That's what I've seen so far. They haven't played anyone. But I think that they win all their games.
That's reality, Tyler? That's reality.
I saw Georgia on Saturday, and they have a Jake Fromm problem. Jake Fromm's not just I know people sometimes like, oh, Jake Fromm. Jake Fromm's not that good.
Is Jake Fromm a top three or top five quarterback?
No, neither.
Wow.
No. Top three? Who's he up there with?
Tua and the guy from Clemson, Lawrence.
Tua's better. You're putting Jake Fromm above Herbert? I mean, if you're drunk or blind, maybe, you don't think Jake Fromm is better than Herbert, right?
No, I'm just kidding. I should have said top five. Top five to top ten.
I'm like, I don't think anyone with a brain would put Jake Fromm above Herbert.
Hey.
I mean, Herbert is bigger, stronger, better arm, more athletic, everything than Fromm.
Well, Fromm has better weapons to throw, I know.
That doesn't count. That doesn't mean Jack's.
I know it doesn't count, but that's why people say that.
No, I'm going to try to get this through your head because I tell you this a thousand times. He plays with the third most talented roster in all of America. He has All-American, All-Pro, NFL-level running backs. He has All-SEC, NFL-level wide receivers. He has NFL-level offensive lines. He probably, on the offensive side of the ball, will play with five or six guys who will be drafted in the first couple rounds over the next 2 years. Of course, he's not terrible. But every time he plays against a team that even has a remotely in the same replica. Notre Dame wasn't as talented as Georgia, but they have talented players.
Yeah.
They was like 60% completion percentage for like 180 yards or something like that. Against Alabama, you know, he's pretty minimal. Texas last year in the bowl game, pretty minimal. Every time he's played against people that have the athletes to match up, he just is not great. He's a solid quarterback.
Mediocre, safe quarterback, like a Daniel Jones.
He's a good. No, Daniel Jones is better than him. Daniel Jones is better than him. You don't know enough. Stop the classification, Daniel. He's not even. Don't compare him to Tua.
No, he's not Tua. He's not Tua. That I can tell you.
He's not Justin Herbert.
All right.
How can you say he's like Justin Herbert? Because you don't look at record, you look at the talent.
Okay.
If you have a lot of talent, all you could be is a game manager. He is not awful. He's not Jacob Eason, who transferred. He's not Justin Fields. But Jacob Eason, who transferred from Georgia to Washington, is better. He's better talent. I've seen them both play. Watch Eason play.
Okay, you convinced me.
BYU.
Fromm is not in the top five. He's not in the top five.
I'm educating you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm educating you.
Can we move on from Jake Fromm?
He doesn't have the arm talent that any of the guys that I mentioned are. He's not the athlete that any of the guys I mentioned are. And I think ultimately that is a problem for Georgia. He's a good game manager. Guess what? Georgia, 9 times out of 10, has more talent than their opposition. They have more talent on the offensive side of the ball. They have more talent on the defensive side of the ball. You know what the problem is? They sometimes play teams that have as much talent. Guess what happens when they do? They lose to Alabama. They lose to LSU. They lose to Texas. I mean, they barely beat Notre Dame at home. If that game was at Notre Dame, I think Notre Dame would have won it. Georgia has a Jake Fromm problem. The problem is he's just not great. And when people can match up a little bit with those wide receivers, when people can stop the run, and you have to rely upon Jake Fromm to win the games, they don't do it. They don't do it, and they won't. I've seen enough of Jake Fromm. They're not going to win a national title, Jake Fromm at quarterback.
They will not.
Yeah. Come back and bounce this podcast, whatever the date is. What is the date?
Today's the 23rd of September.
Bounce it. Georgia will not even make the playoffs.
Wow.
They will not beat LSU. I don't know if they beat Auburn. They won't beat Alabama. I think they beat Florida. I still am not sold on Florida.
Yeah, Florida's beating.
They look better. Florida's going to lose to Georgia. Georgia's better than Florida. They're more talented. They're better. Georgia's going to win. I think they lose to LSU. I think they beat Auburn. I think it's going to be very close. I think they're just a little bit more talented. And I don't buy Bo Nix yet as a true freshman.
No, me either.
But Auburn looks pretty good. No, but Auburn looks pretty good. It went to College Station, beat A&M, and was in control the whole game.
Yeah.
Hey, don't trade on Auburn. They came back and beat Oregon. Oregon dominated them the whole game.
Auburn is convincible. Yeah.
But Auburn. I think LSU is really good.
I do too.
LSU is good offense.
I mean, I think they'll be a threat to Alabama.
I do. I think it'll be tough for them to beat them in tough.
It's gonna be a close one. It's gonna be a high scoring match.
Be a high scoring match. I just think in Alabama, if it was in LSU, I'd pick LSU. And ultimately, if you lose to Alabama, I think you're not going to make that SEC championship. I think Alabama goes undefeated. I think LSU loses one game. I think Auburn loses two games.
Yeah.
I think Auburn loses three. I actually think they lose to LSU, Georgia, and Alabama. But I think they're good. Don't get me wrong. I think Auburn's good. 9-3. I still think they make a New Year's Six at 9-3 because they still have a lot of quality victories over Oregon, A&M, Florida. So, and then I think Georgia makes it, but I think Georgia loses to LSU and then they lose to Alabama, and they don't make the playoffs. I think LSU will get left out because I think there'll be like 3-1 loss champions in the other conference. So that's just my early thing. But
I love
break
this.
It down. Jake Fromm is not a top 5 quarterback, and Jake Fromm will not be drafted in the first 2 rounds.
Third round it is. Third round it is.
And he might not even leave. He actually might not even leave. He might figure out that's his grade, and he might just wait it out another year. He might not even leave.
Okay. Let's go. Let's finish off the Big Ten scores.
I get spirited there.
I know you did, and I caused a debate. We need to have a mid-season big show and to, you know, go over like the first half of the season. How
I think Justin Riley will agree with me. I know he's not a big believer in Jake.
No, he's not. Maybe it's because
he's an Alabama fan, but I mean, I just look. Go look at him. Go put in. I'm going to give you a challenge because I'm going to give you some homework. Go watch him against Alabama last year, Texas last year, Notre Dame this year, LSU last year. Look at how he did.
I'll look at it.
Look how he performed in those games.
This become the Jake Fromm show.
Because he's not good. He's just
no. He's not good. He's a mediocre average quarterback.
He got proven again against Notre Dame. They barely beat him. Notre Dame had the ball. And you know what? Actually, since we're on Georgia, I'm going to belabor another point. Kirby Smart, he needs to work on his in-game management. Him and Mario Cristobal, coach, need to go back to Nick Saban and say, hey, Nick, how do you manage games better in-game? Like, they need to have like a little like coup de grace. Like a little over the fire with Nick Saban, because Kirby Smart, like Mario Cristobal, really had poor game management. Left Notre Dame in that game. I thought there was some bad time management by Kirby Smart. And you know what? He did that against Alabama last year. He did that against there were some bad decisions he made against Alabama for the national title game 2 years ago. So Kirby Smart's another guy. He's a great recruiter. He's a guy that you like to play for, and he has a lot of good things going for him. There's a lot of good things, like Mario Cristobal. In-game manager? Georgia's not making the playoffs. Put it on the record.
You're convincing me that, too. We'll see what happens.
They're not.
They're 3 SEC teams in top 4. I don't think all 3 will make it in. I think for sure Alabama, but a second SEC team in playoffs,
it's
going to be tough.
It's unfortunate that LSU doesn't. LSU is really good.
LSU, I mean, they have to beat Alabama. That is their best path.
Yeah, and that's beat them in Alabama.
That's tough. I mean, the last time I saw a big team beat in Alabama was Auburn with Cam Newton.
Was that in Alabama?
Alabama.
Last big team to beat. Well, Ole Miss did beat them. Ole Miss, when Hugh Freeze was there, won in Alabama.
Yeah.
That's about it.
That's not too much frown upon. Hey, but
Alabama played a really bad game, too. So. But, yeah, I don't know. That's going to be a good game. That's the game of the year right there. As much as I hate to admit it.
Which last year we thought it would be, too. But it didn't really.
Yeah, but last year, I know people were saying that, but last year, still the whole year, was like, LSU has no offense. Like, they just don't have the offense. And it showed late in the year when, the defense got a little bit beat up and injuries started to happen and they couldn't keep holding teams to, like, 10 points. Yeah. And the offense had to win games while LSU started losing teams like Florida and Texas A&M and stuff. And got bolt raced by Alabama and stuff. Yeah, but this year they really have a good offense. I mean, they're good. Really good offense.
Let's finish up the Big Ten scores. Ohio State pummeled Miami, Ohio, 76-6. Wow.
Yeah, they're doing good against the blind schools. I mean, yeah.
That's what Tyler's calling every small school this big school play.
Yeah, and you know, me and Justin got in a little bit. His feathers a little ruffled. But Alabama's non-conference opponents have a record of 4-9. Mm-hmm. Is that right? It was 4-9.
Sounds about
that
right, yeah.
It's bad. They do a little bit need to be questioned. I mean, they're Alabama. Why are they playing Duke, Southern Miss, and New Mexico State?
All the citadels. They're calling like these schools like Citadel.
And then Justin's argument was bringing up, we got this. Well, it's a conference opponent. That doesn't count. Your conference slate is set. You play it no matter what.
Alabama should have at least played against Michigan or something.
They need to play like Wisconsin, which they are. They are playing Wisconsin in a couple of years. They need to play like Wisconsin or Iowa even. Like someone.
Yeah. Washington State University.
I mean, putting Duke Washington, that's even like Washington State or Oregon, someone. I mean, come on, give me a break.
You're right. You do make a good argument about that. You know, I think
and Nick Saban gets all offended when people get on him. And I heard why it is. Alabama's like, oh, but no team wants to play it. But I heard Alabama, you either have to play at Alabama or you have to play at a neutral site game in the Atlanta area. Atlanta's like 4 hours from Alabama.
Yeah, it's
campus.
Not bad. Or play in Dallas.
This is according to Colin Coward. Now, he may have some sources. He said Alabama administration says they'll only play at either Alabama or the Atlanta area.
Wow.
He says they literally will not play anywhere else but those two places.
That's weird.
Well, teams don't want to come. You have to at least schedule home and home. Well, they got enough backlash the last few years because they've literally been scheduling crap non-conference. I know Justin said last year they played Louisville. I mean these aren't good.
Yeah, those are basketball schools.
Duke, Louisville. Come on. I mean, they maybe had a good year here and there, but give me a break. Those are not good schools. On a year-to-year basis, their average is dirt, so below average. But playing ACC, if you're not playing Clemson, you're playing crap. Anyways, back to the subject. They finally got on Alabama enough where they are. They are going to schedule home and home. They play USC 1 year here. I think they play Wisconsin at a home and home. So it's going to be a little better.
It's coming.
But it's been pathetic. Yeah.
After Nick Saban leaves.
And I mentioned it today on the thing. Because Tua's great. Tua's a great quarterback. Give him crap and stuff. He is great. He's a great quarterback.
I will chop off this clip and put it on YouTube, by the way.
When have I ever said Tua's not good? I think he's overrated? Yeah, I mean, a little bit, because the thing is against good competition, he still hasn't played great. But he plays great, and he has great receivers. He has the best receivers in college football. I mean, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith are four of the best receivers, probably all early-round draft picks. I mean, when you can throw a five-yard out route and it goes to the end zone like a couple times a game, that's pretty nice. And I think that should affect his Heisman a little bit. You know, he has to do stuff against the better teams. He has to put up these kind of numbers against LSU. He has to put up these kind of numbers against Georgia. He has to put up these kind of numbers against Auburn. If he does, heck, give him the Heisman. You know what I'm saying?
All power to him.
Until he does that, I think I would not put him first. Like right now, if I was going to say, who's the leading Heisman Trophy candidate? Joey Burrow, man.
You mentioned that in the chat.
He lit up a top 10 Texas team. Did they have a great defense? No, but it was at Texas. Top 10 team, and he lit them up. He's lit up all the other like crappy schools he's played. But at the end of the day, he played a good opponent, lit them up. He's number one. Number two, I don't know who you'd have number two right now.
Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence, have you been watching this season?
I have not.
Trevor
honestly.
Lawrence is not playing. Okay. Trevor Lawrence is completing 62% of his passes. He has 7 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. Trevor Lawrence is not number two right now.
And he's playing easy schools.
It doesn't even matter. He's not even been good against easy schools. His numbers aren't good. No, I don't think Trevor Lawrence deserves to be in the top 10 right now. He's not played that well. Right now, I'd have Jonathan Taylor. I mean, Jonathan Taylor's been remarkable. He ran for 200 yards and missed half the game against Michigan. I'd have him there. Travis Etienne for Clemson. I would put maybe Jerry Jeudy. Heck, I mean, Jerry Jeudy, the wide receiver for Alabama, at the end of the day, he's playing against competition that goes out against him. He takes 5-yard out routes to the end zone. How about Henry Ruggs? Put him out there. And I'm a little biased. I mean, Justin Herbert, 14 touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
Herbert's
super efficient.
Yeah.
You know, he played pretty – you know, the only gripe I have against Herbert is he did not play good in the second half against Auburn. He did not. He gave up sacks. He didn't take shots down the field. He just didn't play good in the second half. So, okay. Yeah, that's my top five. If I probably had to go off the top of my head right now, I'd probably do Joe Burrow, Jonathan Taylor, Travis Etienne. I know everyone likes Sam Ehlinger. Sam Ehlinger is Texas, and he's played remarkable.
Yeah, he's doing good.
And I don't know, number five, whoever. I don't care. Justin Herbert, he's my team. And then we'll see about Jalen Hurts, but he hasn't played anyone.
Yeah, he hasn't played much. He'll be playing Texas soon, but we'll see what happens then.
I got a feeling he'll be fine.
Another score: Nebraska beat Illinois 42-38.
Yep.
Good score. You're happy with them.
Yep. Did you want me to say something about that game?
If you have any opinion. If not, we just move on to the Packers.
Nebraska was down, like, a lot. They were down, I think, 35-14. But they came back. They won it. It was at Illinois. Illinois is not a great team. I wouldn't say it was an amazing victory by Nebraska. Maybe they're looking ahead to Ohio State. But I'm telling you right now, they – game number one, they won by 14 over South Alabama. Looked very underwhelming. Game two, jumped out to a 17-0 lead at halftime against Colorado. Colorado comes all the way back and wins in overtime. Then finally, last week against Northern Illinois, they played pretty good, and I think they won like 50-14 or something. And then they come back, and they almost lost Illinois, but they did come back and win it. I just don't love Nebraska right now. We'll see. They could really get boat raced by Ohio State. Ohio State.
Or they could be a spoiler for Ohio State.
Yeah, Ohio State has done it 4 or 5 years in a row. We're on the road. There's been one game where it was like they didn't even get off the bus. I mean, they lost to Iowa by 30. They lost to Purdue by 30. I mean,
that's not good.
Nebraska's
not good.
As talented as those two teams.
Exactly.
So we'll see. We'll see.
History will repeat itself. Packers, the offensive line kept Aaron Rodgers upright. The two-time MVP threw for 235 yards and a touchdown, and Aaron Jones tied a career high by running for two scores to lead the Green Bay Packers to a 27-16 victory over the Denver Broncos on Sunday. What are your thoughts?
I saw this game intermittently. I was watching that on NFL Red Zone. The Packers right now, they're 3-0, so that's good.
Looking
that's
good.
Awesome. I'm going to do a little caveat. Their offense, if you break down, they're in rushing offense, passing offense, offensive efficiency. They're at the bottom end of the NFL.
Wow.
Overall, their offense has been very inconsistent. I don't love the wide receiver core. Running backs are solid. Rodgers has played pretty good, but he's not as sharp as he has been other years. Now, defensively, they have been muddy against the pass. They've been hard to pass on, and they've been great at getting to the quarterback and sacks and hurries, and they've been great getting. The big thing is the turnover ratio. They're +6, which is number one in the NFL. They have been forcing turnovers. And so credit to the Green Bay offense. The Green Bay offense has not been turning the ball over. Rodgers hasn't been throwing interceptions. They haven't turned the ball over very much. I think they have like 3 turnovers through 3 games. So they're 3-0. The thing that worries me is they just don't have a lot offensively. If they can't find a little more of an offensive rhythm, I mean, can the defense keep up this pace of where they're forcing turnovers, getting to the quarterback, and really limiting the offense to being kind of one-dimensional? We'll see. I think the jury's still out. But we're 3-0. New coach. I love the defense. I really love the secondary, and I love the guys they have getting after the quarterback. I'm just a little bit hesitant to be, like, super pumped up about offensive efficiency and the overall offensive performance.
TBD for the Packers.
3-0.
Yeah, 3-0.
Yeah, TBD.
Your next three teams you're playing against, Packers are playing against, Eagles, Cowboys, and the Lions. So, good.
And those next two are pretty good. So,
yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see what happens. Ready for predictions?
Yep.
Let's start with Arizona State versus California.
You know what? I think it's going to be a pretty close game. It's in California. I don't think either of these teams are great on offense. I want California to be in the top 15 when they come to Eugene. I want College Game Day to be in Eugene. I'm going to take California, like 17-14.
17-14. Texas Tech versus Oklahoma.
Oh, Oklahoma.
Kansas State versus Oklahoma State.
Kansas State's pretty good this year. They're in the top 25 now.
Yeah.
I still probably like Oklahoma State and Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State. Wow, interesting. Ole Miss versus Alabama.
Alabama.
Virginia versus
Ole Miss is not very good.
Virginia versus Notre Dame.
I know. Notre Dame's coming off an emotional game. I just think that could be a drop off, but Virginia's not very good. They're not very good. They almost lost to Old Dominion. I got Notre Dame.
The Fighting Irish wins. USC versus Washington.
Woo! Kind of spoiled it earlier. I think this is the best game this weekend. Washington, they just have a better coaching staff. I trust Chris Peterson more than Clay Helton. It's in Seattle. I just think a third-string quarterback, I don't think he's going to be able to duplicate what he did last week. I think Washington wins it pretty significantly. I think it's going to be one of those, like, I think USC turns the ball over. I think their back end is also a little bit inconsistent, young, and a little undisciplined. I got, like, 35 to 21. Oof. Washington.
Washington State versus Utah.
You know what? That was if Washington State hadn't. Yeah, I'm on the phone.
I love it.
Okay. Sorry, I have somebody yelling at me.
It's okay,
Tyler. It was going to be a top 25 game.
Yeah.
And Washington State completely blew it. and I think going into Utah's pretty good at home. I think Washington State. I actually that's going to really affect Washington State. They don't have a lot of talent. And, you know, they're a team that goes off of momentum and, you know, losing a game like that. I think Washington State's the team that's going to end up losing four or five games in conference. So I got Utah.
Utah, my team Utah. UCLA versus Arizona.
Oh, that's a crappy game. I guess, I don't know. Take your pick. Maybe UCLA gets a little momentum with this comeback. And, you know, they have a little more talent than Arizona. I think they get a little bit revved up and play a little better. So UCLA.
Chip Kelly wins again. Ohio State versus Nebraska.
Well, this is where College Game Day is.
Yep.
And I think it's going to be a better game than people think it's going to be. I think Nebraska's going to come out, and they're going to play as good as they possibly can play. And Ohio State might struggle a little early. That being said, I don't trust Nebraska. I think Ohio State's the more talented team. I think the overall is the better team. I think Ohio State is able to get it together and win the game late.
I thought you were going to pick Nebraska. I thought you would.
They haven't looked good enough, man.
I gotcha.
It's just hard to – it's hard to pick a team that's looked like they have. You have to go – okay, at the beginning of the season – you know, you hear the storylines, you see what a team could be, and then but then after four games, you get an eye test. You see who the team is. Ohio State's pretty freaking good. I mean, they haven't really played anyone, but it doesn't matter. They've destroyed everyone that played. And I know that on paper, they have, if not the most talent, one of the top two, three most talented teams in the country. And that matters. And they've looked good, and Nebraska hasn't. If Nebraska was 4-0, even if they, you know, looked similar to what they have already, but were able to, you know, that game against Colorado, they were able to pull it out in overtime, and, you know, they were 4-0 and maybe didn't look good, but you knew, but they kept on winning, but they have lost a game and just haven't looked great. I got to go Ohio State. They just haven't looked great. So.
Tonight, Monday Night Football, Chicago Bears versus the Washington Redskins.
I think that Bears.
Trubisky wins. Bears. And random question, if you had to have one of these candies have to go forever, which one would you choose? Snickers, Kit Kat.
You forgot to ask me Green Bay versus Eagles.
Oh, okay, yeah, Eagles versus Packers.
Are they at Philadelphia?
Let me check on that. Packers. They're in Green Bay.
Oh, they're in Green Bay? Ah, good. I think Green Bay wins. I do. I hope they play a little better. I hope the offense is a little more efficient.
This would be.
But yeah, I think Green Bay.
It'd probably be a big test for them. Yeah, it's going to be a test for them.
Yeah, it's a tough game. If they win this game, then they're showing that
they can do it.
They're pretty legit this year. Yeah.
Random question. If one of these candies have to go forever, which one would you choose? Snickers, Kit Kat, Reese's, or M&M's?
So what's the question again?
One of these candies have to go forever. Out of your life, completely. It's between Snickers.
Name it again?
Snickers, Kit Kat, Reese's, or M&M's.
Yeah, I don't really eat any of them.
I know you would say that.
I would say Snickers.
Snickers leaves forever. And the polls have Kit Kat leading. So that's what the Twitter poll has it.
No, I actually like Kit Kat.
That sounds good.
I don't eat much candy, but if I do.
Yeah, well, that's very good. Tyler, how can people reach you to talk to you about Wisconsin?
At TurnerCast.
At TurnerCast. Visit us at the SportsCastNet or on Twitter at the SportsCast1 to have some debate. And that's it for the SportsCast. Tomorrow we have Victor. Tyler is going to – I actually have some homework to do. Watch some video on Jake Fromm. So
Jake Fromm.
Can't wait to look at it. Tyler.
Get at it.
I appreciate you coming to the SportsCast.
I did.